Hello, welcome back to the Vagabond Dilemma with me, Rudy, and Henry, who today has a special treat for us with a very, 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 very special heisty and feisty episode. So sit back and enjoy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Vagabond Dilemma, featuring your ever-dashing co-host, Rudy, and, well, me, Henry. On today's episode, we're going to have some real exciting stuff, to be honest. I've been hyping Rudy about this one for a very long time, that being like 4 days, so...
I'm sorry?
Yes?
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Did you just do the intro that I was supposed to do?
That's fucking right. I stole your job, buddy.
You fucking Muppet. I'm sorry. I was listening to this, kind of vibing on my own, and I was like, wait a minute. Is this what it feels like being replaced by AI? And that's right, people. This whole time, it's been just me and a chatbot.
I mean, honestly, I could see that. Maybe that's the podcast of the future.
You might even think he has a personality.
Could a chatbot do this?
I think that's exactly what it does when it like powers down. Imagine every time your phone like is dying because like 1% left in battery, and just.
It would be really funny.
Have you seen that video of a Roomba vacuum cleaner that somebody programmed to scream every time it bounces on something?
No, but that sounds really funny.
It's like a normal video, family eating dinner, and then the Roomba zooms into the frame, hits the table side, and just goes, ah! It's hilarious.
Oh boy, that's quite silly, isn't it? Well, Rudy.
I cannot understate, listeners of this podcast, how much Henry has hyped this one episode.
I hope it lives up to expectations.
He almost groped me at one point.
That's so not even close to truth.
He intrusively touched me.
That's very far from the truth.
Intrusively touched me not in the way I would like, and you know what could help me? A sensitive Italian touch.
I don't even fucking give this guy a hug because he doesn't want me to do that, which is fine.
He's trying to tie in the Italians.
You fucking... You.
Oh, that's another intrusive thingy that you did with the finger just now.
That's... I'm on camera, sir, so I have to emote a bit, you know? Alright. 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 I'm gonna, like, go to a different tab so I don't see you being distracted. So I'm quickly gonna introduce the show. It's the Vagabond Dilemma. We talk about a person or a topic, talk about their history, how they got lost, and then theorize what happened to them.
But not today, am I right?
That was probably my most succinct and one, like, piece introduction so far. So if nothing else, you could see that 45 episodes in, we're still learning.
I mean, that means that we care enough to try to develop our skills and grow as co-hosts.
That's right. And yes, like you said, Rudy, today is a bit special. This is my last regular episode, so I wanted to...
Did we ever say that? As in, like, did we ever put that on the
official... No, so that's what
I'm
doing
okay,
right
well
now.
Then, people, these are the last episodes where we are normal, and then we go crazy!
Oh, wacky Rudy and wacky Henry! No, we didn't say it, but, I mean, it's fine, right? You'll see. The last episodes we have after this are going to be also a special format, so...
It's we are setting up the scene. A bit of drama, a bit of twists, suspense.
Exactly. So, well, before we get into it, do you have anything to report, Rudy?
Since our last recording, not much. I'm trying to think right now. No, I'm about to leave to see my parents again, so, and then the next recording we're gonna have is actually gonna be most probably after I have spent the whole, let's say, month in Latvia. So we'll see how that goes. Always fun.
Yeah, we are definitely banking a lot of episodes right now, so.
Yeah, just for you, our listeners, to enjoy us at the cadence you expect and want us.
Okay. So, okay, Rudy. Let me very seamlessly talk about something. Italians, huh?
Yes!
What's the deal? Can you speak to your love for Italians?
I mean, it transcends my physical body.
Right.
I think that it's hard for me to love somebody, mm-hmm. and yet I am capable somehow of loving a whole country just by its roots, its antics,
its
pizzazz.
Okay.
It's a love that found me, not the other way around.
Okay. All right. I mean, fair enough. I will say they make banging pizzas down there. You know, you gotta give them that.
By the way, I thought of it the other day. You know the song that we once in a while whip out, just, you know, with our banjos across the fireplaces with good friends, you know, when the moon hit your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Yeah.
He sings that song, Big Pizza Pie. Is pizza to them a pie?
In America? Isn't that an American song?
Okay, I did not know this, which would explain a lot. However, is still pizza considered a pie? No, right? It's pizza.
Pizza is often referenced to as a pizza pie in America. So
it's just American stupidity that got confused.
I mean, it can just be like a local way of saying pizza. I don't really, or maybe it's even something different. I don't really know. I'm pretty sure that song is American, but I don't know, to be honest. Anyway, that's beside the point. Rudy, would you say that Italians have ever stolen your heart?
Yes.
And did you ever find your heart back? Probably not, considering you're a heartless bastard, but...
You, why I oughta? No. An Italian boy stole it and ran away.
Well, that's great to hear, because today we're talking about a different kind of heist. Not Rudy's heart, but we are talking about a heist. And before we get into it, we're actually going to straight over kick it up to Rudy's Rocks right now. That's right.
Oh, we're doing it now. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rudy's Rocks.
That was a quick one. Because once I get into the story and the additional stuff I have for the story, it'll be Rudy's Rocks will interrupt too much to swap back to it. So.
Okay.
I will send Rudy the rocks right now. And before he starts talking, I will quickly explain. One second. These rocks today are in line with the thieving subject of the episode.
That's what I was going to ask.
Exactly. You can ask me a question. I won't say what they are until after we do the names. Real quick, if you want to see the rocks, message us, and Rudy will describe the rocks to us, and then we both give it a name.
Well, you said don't ask, I won't tell, but I kind of assumed I knew, and then you said that, and now I assume I don't know what they are. So what I'm seeing for the people at home listening is on a rather black rock background are placed two, I guess they're, I mean, okay. Now there's rough crystals. They have not been polished or anything has been done to them. They are gemstones. I'm just trying to now think of what gemstones those are, because I thought they're diamonds, because they look like the same color as a transparent diamond would.
Yeah, that's
however,
right.
However,
they are
diamonds.
Yeah.
Oh well, so don't confuse me.
I was just saying I'm not gonna say it until you say it, basically.
Okay. Well, and then I have to name these diamonds.
That's right. They're diamonds in the rough.
Oh, that was actually a good one that I should have come up with on my own. But anyhow, I'll call them the sack.
The sack? Because
they are placed together rather closely and they're roundish. So I'll call them the sack.
Okay. I will call them, and I want to see if you can see this, because this is why I picked this image originally. And I want to see if you vibe with this. I'll call them the serpent, because in a very artistic vision, I can see the front one being the head. You can kind of see an eye on the side and a bit of like a smile on the bottom like edge of it.
Okay.
And then you just have to imagine that the body like extends a bit downward, then up to the other rock and then into the like black rocks.
Whoa. Okay, okay, you went there and I followed. Okay, I followed. I see that. I must say, without that description, hard to see that, but with it, good job.
Thank you. I agree with that.
Le serpente e il sacco.
Alright, so today, like I said, we're doing a bit of a different format. It's a crossover format, so we're still going to be theorizing about lost stuff, but today it's just the lost stuff will be that of a heist, and the heisters as well. Whichever one you want. Today we're talking about the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum theft. Are you familiar, Rui, perchance?
No, I am not. I am... When it comes to thievery and burglary, I know only of the mystical ones that is like, I don't know, in a sense of the ones that pop culture has taken about, you know? This one, not familiar with.
Okay. I wasn't either until I read this, but I do love me some heist stuff. I like think heist movies and heisting games are cool. So it's cool to read about one that actually happened, you know, because that's always...
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy to read about and think, okay, this actually happened, as opposed to like the movies where they do like this extremely extravagant set piece.
Yeah.
All right, so the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum is a museum located in Boston, and it was opened to the public in 1903. So first, I'm going to give you a bit of background on the museum, right? The museum was constructed and ran by the woman who the museum was named after, so Isabella Stewart. Isabella Stewart Gardner? I kind of forgot now. It's one of them. Isabella, for short. And she provided the museum the funds to continue operating, right? She opened it with her art collection, and she provided the funds to make it a museum. And after she died, she gave the museum more money in her will, and also said that none of the paintings can be sold, and none of the paintings can have new ones brought in. Like, it was to stay that collection, which it was. And there were some very pricey artworks in there, I will say. I don't have specific examples, but for example, from Rembrandt and Vermeer. I don't know if you're familiar, Rudy.
I am familiar with Rembrandt.
Basically, there were some pretty famous paintings in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, by the 1980s, the museum had come into harder times, having little money left. And because of that, the museum lacked in safety measures and security features. And then in 1982, a plot to rob the museum was uncovered by, I think, the FBI. At which point the museum said, okay, we probably should invest in some safety measures, right?
Yeah.
So they did. They got a couple funds and they managed to do that. But even after this, the museum was still lacking in security. For example, there were no cameras inside the museum itself, only on the outside.
How big is the museum?
I didn't even look up a picture, so that's a good question. But it's not small, let's put it that way.
Okay.
I think it's probably like a medium-sized museum, because they were talking about several halls, right? So I assume from that.
Okay.
Okay. No cameras inside the museum. The guards were paid minimum wage, so great stuff. And the only way to reach the police was one main security button at the main desk. It was like the panic button in case something went wrong. Right? Okay. So that's the background setup. Now we go to the
little thieving itself, yeah?
You still following me, Rudy?
Yeah, I'm just writing down. I'm doing my own FBI thing.
Do you want to care to wager a guess at how it's going to happen in broad terms?
Okay, in broad terms. It's gonna happen in broad daylight. They're gonna come in as visitors because their camera's outside. So throughout the night, it will be way more visible if somebody's trying to get into the museum. But if you go with the normal visiting hours, then no, like, you know, nobody would see. They maybe the only thing for them to worry about once they get in the museum is for somebody not to press that one single panic button. So as long as that doesn't happen, they can do whatever the fuck they want in the museum, basically. Well, provided that, you know, the guards don't see them.
Right. So what about other visitors, if it's in broad daylight?
Well, they wait out. They wait out. They stay in the museum. Yes, they hide, and then they... When it's only guards and them left, somebody's taking watch of the panic button, or maybe neutralizes the guard who's supposed to do that. Somebody else takes, what is it, painting, and they just run out of the... museum with the painting.
I mean, honestly, it's not what happened, but I think that's a pretty solid theory. Like, it kind of makes sense.
Okay, then now I'm intrigued. What else happened?
So, the night of the robbery, there were two security guards present, one at the main desk and one in the hallways with a flashlight, like walking around the gallery. Which, I don't know why that's funny to me, because I always thought that's just like a fake way of presenting security, right? Just some dude with a flashlight walking around. But
yeah, it's also I could never be a night guard in a school or in a museum, like, ever. That yeah. Shit's terrifying.
Yeah, it's boring and it's terrifying. I agree.
It's like, God, if you can do that, sure, but holy Jesus Christ. Imagine you forget there's a painting. It's like a portrait. You go around the corner, you flash your flashlight on it, and it's like a fucking face.
Yeah. And to also add on to this, one of the guards was for the very first time doing night duty that night.
Ha! A newbie. So,
the fire alarm suddenly goes off in several galleries, but the patrolling guard cannot find any smoke or fire. So, he turns off the alarm panel so that the alarm stops going off and continues to patrol. Perhaps as an ominous sign of what's to come. Ooh. The guards swap their position at 1 a.m. So one at the desk, one patrolling, right? So every now and then they swap so that one can sit down. And shortly after which, the buzzer, so the doorbell goes. And the guard answers on the intercom. There's two policemen outside who say there have been reports of a disturbance and that they have to be let in to investigate. Right? Onto the premises. Mm-hmm. The guards were not aware of a disturbance, but it was St. Patrick's Day that day, and that meant a large volume of crowds outside going around, which reasonably means that there could have been, like, somebody trying to climb into the museum or something happening around there.
Oh, it's like that. I thought it's about the fire alarm.
No.
Okay.
The fire alarm, well, I'll leave that for later.
Okay.
So the policemen were let in, and the police asked who was in the museum. The front desk guard made the call to get the other guard to the security desk as well. After which, one of the policemen said that the desk guard looked similar to a criminal who has a warrant out for him. And that he could have him arrested if he doesn't identify himself. Right? So, the security guard gets up from the desk, which is also the location of the security button. After which, the policemen cuff both the guards and reveal they were the robber masterminds. Or they are the robber masterminds.
They reveal that?
Yes.
What? So the movies are true. That all villains stupidly is like, I got you in this chair now, and my master plan is this, from A to B, just walking through.
I mean, kind of, but also, like, that's the only two security guards are now handcuffed. Right? They're, like, restrained. There's no one else in the museum, and there's no, like, internal security measures, so...
Okay.
It's more of like, yeah, it's us. They take him to the basement. Where they are tied to, like, well, what's called? Oh, duct taped around the head. Like, their heads are duct taped.
What the fuck?
And they're tied around a pipe, I think, was it? In the basement. And the guards sorry, the robbers tell the guards, if you don't tell investigators anything about this, you can expect a reward 1 year down the line.
Oh.
Because they know where the guards live, and they took their wallets and stuff as well. So, at this point, the thieves go into the gallery, where they started to steal the paintings. Their movements were tracked on infrared devices, but so they know where they were at what times, but not there's not really much that means, except for they know what happened, right? Mm-hmm. There were extra security measures on paintings, which would make the alarm go off if the paintings were touched, but they just, like, broke them and then stole the paintings anyway.
Fucking hell.
So, they stole a total of 13 artworks, totaling around 200 to 500 million worth in dollars worth in about 81 minutes.
All right, some quick cash and grab.
That's right. Then they checked in on the bound guards one more time, giving them the old, see you later, friends. After which, they destroyed the camera evidence of the outside of them coming in. And I think that was it, yes. So they didn't destroy the infrared evidence because they didn't know that was there. But,
yeah,
you know, whatever, I guess. The police was then called in the morning when the morning shift guards couldn't get in because of no response at the front desk, meaning that the head of security had to be called with his keys, and then they found the guards bound in the basement still. And that's it. That's where we're left off. But before
Can
we
I just
start...
say
oh yeah, go ahead.
Quickly. That beginning of this is exactly why I wouldn't work as a night guard, because my overthinking head would be like, yo, fire alarm pulled. There's like some, you know, something's happening. I go around, there's no fire. I'm already like, what the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? And then the buzzer like sounds, right?
Yeah.
And for just full, you know, to be fully ominous, imagine if, like, nobody's at the door. I'm there like, this fucking ghost. Ah, man, I'm out, bitch. I leave the other guard, I quit the job. Fuck this shit. I ain't seen too many movies about this.
I don't know. With two guards, it's also just, like, feels kind of extra shitty, because you're only with the two of you. I feel like if with three guards, it would be already a lot nicer. I don't know. Maybe that's kind of a baseless thing to say, but I feel like two guards for one museum is maybe just not that much. But okay. It was also because the security measures were poor, a lot of the flaws were known in the system, so they knew what to go for, the thieves, basically.
Yeah.
So this is where we are left off. And before we start with the improv, which I hope, Rudy, with all these details, you have maybe a decent idea of where they went. I have some audio recordings that survived.
What?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So, I hope you're going to be interested in listening to these. We're going to start the audio at the same time.
Oh,
so
okay.
We're on the same page, and then that's all. Okay, so I'm going to count us down the same way we do the claps.
Where do I listen to this audio?
I'm sending it right now in Discord.
Oh, okay.
Okay, are you ready?
Sure.
3, 2, 1. And the listener will hear this as well. It was a dark evening in Boston, as an unsuspecting guard was having the time of his life working security. Ah, the bliss of the night shift. Nothing going on, just big chilling and raking in the minimum wage dough. This is the life. Huh? That's weird. Who could be at the door at 1:20 a.m.?
Hello there, we have received reports of a disturbance on museum premises. Please let us in so we can investigate.
I haven't heard anything. Can you please elaborate?
We suspect it may have something to do with the St. Patrick's Day drunks. And just as a reminder, not letting us in is a criminal offense.
Alright. I'll let you in. Give me a second. Right. What's all this then?
As mentioned previously, we have reports of a disturbance. Is anyone else in the museum? We need you to call everyone to the front desk.
Yeah, there is someone else. Wait a minute, let me call him over.
Oi, Jack. We have some policemen here at the entry that are requesting your presence. Can you make your way over?
Roger that, Frank! Give me a couple minutes and I'll be right over! Just after I pass all of these priceless artworks that have been secured by some mediocre security systems and, well, us!
He'll be right over. So, the weather, am I right?
Yeah, the weather is, well, I guess it is just weather, huh?
Actually, now that I take a closer look, why does your mustache look as if it's been glued on? It looks just like a poor Halloween disguise.
Please don't worry about my partner's facial hair. We have more important matters to discuss than this, well, frankly, disgusting mustache.
Right, so what exactly is going on?
We've had reports of a disturbance near the museum. Hey, wait a minute. You guys look like some notorious criminals that we have arrest warrants on. I demand you to identify yourself, and in doing so, create distance between yourself and the only main alarm button in this museum.
Sir, I assure you, we are not criminals. Feel free to check my ID, which I will hand to you right now, leaving me in quite the compromising position.
Yeah, me neither. Have a look.
Haha, we've got you now, you criminal scum.
Oh no!
The two guards are cuffed and taken to the basement. No, we got you. We tricked ya. We're gonna rob this place blind.
I can't wait to get my cheeky grabbers on some of that invaluable loot. But rest assured, if you guys don't say anything, you will surely get a reward within the year, as that will of course not implicate you into our crime and make you a potential scapegoat for an inside job.
Be good now, kids. We'll be back in a bit. And so the thieves went. Well, thieving. Stealing millions of dollars in art. Please wait as they are robbing the museum.
Please wait. Robbing in progress. Please wait. Robbing in progress. Please wait. Robbing in progress.
Alright, we're done here. Are you guys still comfortable? Good. Take a nice little nap until the police comes in the morning. But for now, adieu.
And there we have it.
What can I say, you fucking genius of comedy right here. Genius of comedy. I will, you know, I could play along and do the bit, but I will fucking ask, how much time did it take to make this?
I think it was like an hour and a half.
And then, did you also use the same software we used for the recording this?
Did I use the same what? Oh, the same software. Yeah, I just made it in Audacity.
Damn, this is... I was muting myself left and right because I was laughing out loud like fucking every 5 seconds. This is like pure comedy. Well done.
Thank you. I also... Some of the details in there were also from like the actual like robbery. I just didn't mention them earlier, like the mustache. It was said that the security guard noticed that the mustache on the taller guy looked fake.
What the fuck?
So, on the taller police guy. And also that the thieves dressed as police like leveraged their power as police of like, oh, if you don't cooperate with us, you're in trouble. That kind of thing, yeah. You know? So there we go. I hope that leaked audio will help you find some more ideas. Well, Rudy, what do you think? What happened?
Well, wait, what would happen? Doesn't like where they went after the robbery?
That's right. What happened to them? What happened to the artworks? You can take your pick.
Oh, no, exactly what happened.
I'm glad to
hear. Museums around the world, even these days, are sometimes struggling. Everybody knows the Met, Louvre, you know, those big museums. Those, obviously, because they have some kind of small fucking lady that everybody cares about, Mona Lisa, am I right? they just earn caches upon caches of money, and they never... They basically monopolize art and culture for other museums, struggling ones. Because I feel like the art appreciation in the world focuses on the 10 most known percent of art, and everything else is like, yeah, it's a museum where I can, you know, if I feel like it, let's go to it in the afternoon, that kind of stuff. And right. Those are the museums that suffer a lot. But people that work there are probably very smart, educated individuals who would like to teach you all about the history of the world via expression of art. That being said, I have no doubt in Boston there were some museums like this. So, this museum is hogging all the attention because of its classical paintings and whatnot. So, all the other museums form a underground band. Let's put it that way, right?
Oh, I see.
There's been some tomfoolery, and they plot and they plan for what feels like ages, weeks, months, to come up with a plan of how to fuck up that museum. And so they choose a union of a delegation, which is one person involved from every big museum that wants to participate in this, which is two leading people and some in the van for running away. And they perform this robbery. And they say, we will distribute the wealth of selling this art in the black market, because, yeah, we like art, but this specific art used in this museum, fuck that. It's like, bro, it cost us way too much of our pride, it ruined our careers, so this specific art, art pieces, sold in black market, and we distribute the cash accordingly. And then somebody notices, but wait, this number that we divided by doesn't divide nicely, but it could be divided nicely if you add +2 to our, you know, count of people to divide the money with. And so somebody very nicely is like, well, there are actually two guards posted that night. We could share it down with them in like a year. So that's what happened.
I like the idea of like, oh, let's rob 200 million. Oh, but this doesn't divide well through however many people we plan this with. We need two more.
Yeah, exactly. Like it divides, let's say they were 18, but it divides with 20 way nicer, right?
True. So true. Honestly, it is a pretty funny idea of like so many museums banding together to ruin one to make sure that they have the funds to stay operating. It's a double
whammy. Is that museum still open till this day?
I think it is.
But it's probably in shambles.
I'll talk a little bit to that in the resolution.
Okay.
You know what, Rudy? I also have a theory, right? Because it's quite a big heist, right? Hard to get away with. Dressing up as police. Hard to get away with.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah.
But they were masters of disguise, right?
Okay.
Clearly, because the guards didn't see it coming until it was too late. So here's what I think they did, right? They stole all the artworks, get out. The police, the FBI, the CIA, they were on their trail, right?
Yeah.
But here's where their disguise comes back. They disguised themselves as model citizens, right?
Okay.
So when they were questioned, they just looked so perfect, right? Model citizens wouldn't do anything wrong.
Of course.
Innocent little angels with halos over their head. Right? So they were like, okay, these guys can't be it. But at the same time, we found all the paintings in their van / hideout. Right? And that's because still disguised as model citizens, they said, oh, we're just art aficionados, you know? We just appreciate the fine arts. We have nothing to do with stealing. And they were just so convincing in their disguise that they were like, all right, you can't be it. This is a probably fake. So we're going to let you get away with it.
Damn.
That's it. They really managed to just make it out by acting innocent.
Okay. Right. Just got the call from the chief, by the way. I think some new info just dropped.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, kind of, I think I have to fix my story a bit. So what happened is, everything about the museum's coming together to plan until this point, everything's correct. Except the two robbers step out the door, you know, hands rubbing us and like, we pull this off. And what do they find? Police escort already waiting for them. Somebody snitched. Somebody fucking snitched. So what they do? They run. They split. Around the building. Around the block. Each having equal money bags. As in like paintings. Hauling these like 10 paintings on one back. And they start running. Police decides to chase after that one. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Chasing down through whole Boston. Through like neighborhoods, blocks. And at the outskirts of the city, they catch him. And he was running so fast because he was on roller skates. He was out-rolling them in police cars.
Like a master roller skater here.
They catch him, right? But that's the thing. This is where their disguise genius comes in again. Because what actually happened? It was actually, yes, it was two people robbing the bank.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't two policemen disguises filled with people. What I mean is, now imagine this picture. Somebody comes in, this like very tall guy, like glasses, mustache that looks a bit glued on, but you know, who sees? That's why they didn't notice. He was so inhumanly tall. And then this smaller guy, always walking besides him, you can't really distinguish any facial features, and he doesn't seem to have like a mouth or whatever. But he is talking.
Okay.
Because he's an actual... So what happened is there's two dudes on top of each other in the tall man disguise.
Right.
And the smaller one is just a puppet.
Fucking hand puppet?
Yes, like a big hand puppet. And that was the one where they placed fake planks on back of his in case police was waiting for them. On his roller skates, they strapped fireworks. And just launched him down the blocks. And the police was like, oh, that's the one running away the fastest. It must be the robber. So they run after him. And they only caught him because he slipped, rolled, and splayed all over the street. And it was just wheat. It was just, there was nothing in it. It was a ragdoll. Well, these tall man robbers just walking down the street happily, not even running, because they're like, these idiots will never catch us. And they can haul twice the amount of paintings because there's two people in them.
Right. The good old scarecrow distraction.
Exactly.
The classic. Also, imagine having the arm strength to be on the bottom like of like a tall man disguise, and also having one arm out like here to do the mouth movements and stuff.
I'm just imagining the idea of like one man and the one literally the length of the other higher than.
Damn, officer, you're conveniently twice the size of your friend here.
I would imagine that being scared. You see one popping through the door, and then the other one like a fucking giant steps in. I would, like, if he would ask for my ID, I would not even question him. Like, Jed, please, just go away.
Well, Rudy, my other idea is that I think... What if it was just actual police responding to the call? Right?
And there was somebody who tried to be more manly because he was in reality a twin gay person. And he was like, I'm working in the police department. I want to look more manly. So he glued mustache on his face.
Sure, exactly. And then they went inside the museum, and they were like, this is so poorly secured, what if we just rob it to teach them a lesson, you know?
Like, the idea, you know, like, look at each other, they just, you know, usual rounds, show us ID, they just, whilst waiting, they look around, and then they're like, damn, Jeff, this really sucks, look at that, they don't even have the fucking cameras inside. Yeah, I know, right? And then they look at each other with that, like, side glance, like, I'll do it if you do it.
And they were taught a lesson in security. And instead of revealing it, they were like, well, okay, this is also worth a lot, so let's just not talk about
this. Yeah, because the police wages have never been worth. So
yeah.
let's just cash in, why not?
An opportunistic crime.
True, 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 true. How about this, though?
Oh, yeah? Go ahead.
The burglars come in. Once again, two rival museums being jealous of this museum.
Yeah.
Really going down the... And there's a lot of stories coming in together this night. Police arrives, real police arrives, because there's been a disturbance. Right?
Right.
And the disturbance has been because a drunk St. Patrick's guy just actually did fucking bash his head through the window and like jump in, but he passed out right between the one of the exhibition stalls and the wall. So he just passed out somewhere in the museum, but he did trigger the alarm. But they never noticed him because he was behind the stall, right? So police arrives. But this makes two other parties shit their pants in the museum. Because the robbers of two rival museums already have been infiltrated in the museum throughout the day.
Right.
And while one, like, and they were racing who's going to get the better paintings. And as about there to pull the paintings off the wall, the alarm triggers. Because this stupid Patrick's idiot has been, you know, bashed through the window.
Right.
So they're like, fuck, shit, what do we do? So they, I don't know, jump in vases, pretend to be paintings or whatever when the guard runs past, like in Scooby-Doo shit. The police comes, does the stupid ID check, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whilst this is happening, the two rival gangs on the upper floors are heisting, right? And they're like fighting with each other. Proper, like, you know how they show in the movies? Proper bashing each other's head in, but trying to be silent because there's other people in the house.
Yeah, very comedic.
Exactly. And they succeed to each get some paintings, right? But it's like a rule. Once you get your hands on a painting, you can't fight for that painting anymore. It's like, you know, haha, tag. It's universal law between the museums. So the police guys, us down to our stories, like, damn, no security, opportunity, crime. Let's do it. Third party involved. St. Patrick's guy wakes up. He's super drunk. He's like, holy shit. All I see is cash. Fourth party involved. The guards are like, fuck, Jeff, I told you we had to do this at 1 a.m., not 3 a.m. We would have stolen this way earlier. Now we have to deal with this. Fifth party involved. So there's five parties involved in the same museum in one night trying to steal the same paintings. The police guys go up on the floor and they're like, wait, everything's been cleared out. And they hear footsteps. So they start running. The original robbers run out and split to both sides, right? Each carrying equal amounts of paintings. The police guys, you know, they have the whole full getup, as in, like, they're the robbers, but they have the full getup.
Mm-hmm.
So, they radio real police, and they're like, yo, there's a robbery going down that and that street. Chase. Everybody thinks they know who's the robber. In reality, it's a mind game. The St. Patrick guy slowly comes out of the museum. I'ma go that way. And just, you know, follows one of the robbers. Chase happens. The one of the robbers is running away, but he can't keep up the pace, and he's slowly losing against the police chase. The initial guy who was the robber, but in the police disguise, is gaining on him. They catch each other. Okay, and they catch each other on like a very dark alley. Nobody's in sight. So the robber places the paintings down. He's like, okay, you want to do it like man to man? Let's fucking go. And they start wrestling each other. Whilst they do this, the St. Patrick's guy comes around the corner. Eh, those are the paintings I lost. Pops up the paintings on the shoulder. Goes. And he's like, my house is actually on the other side of the town. Bye, guys. Just starts going. You know, nobody's even chasing him. They didn't know that he was there. He's just drunkenly walking with paintings in the middle of the street. Going to his house. And he honestly... He thought about cash, but then he was like, too much hassle. I just like these paintings. I'm going to pull it up in my house. The other police chase was happening on the other side of the town. But that guy, he was smart, or he was trying to be smart. What he actually did was he actually dropped the paintings off at one block from the museum, but still kept running with something else on his back, so the police continued chasing him. He was like, now that I don't have this weight on my back, I will run faster, I will outrun them, and I'll just circle back, get my paintings, voila. My museum goes ahead, right? Whilst he's doing the ring around the Rosie across the whole Boston, this guy going home, you know, about to unlock his door to his house, looks in the trash bin, hey, that was another painting! Pulls those out, gets in his house, pulls it up on his living room, sits there enjoying art and culture, and nobody's looked for him since, and his family descending down, they still have those paintings in that house, but they kind of all like a bit daft, so they like they've always reading of this like these paintings that were never found, this legend of Boston Museum, blah blah blah, and they're like, damn. Look from the newspaper, look up, sees the painting, looks back in the newspaper. Damn, it really looks like the one we have on our wall. Damn, somebody copied our paintings, huh?
Of course.
So this family has had these paintings one block down the road from the museum all this time. But honestly, as long as art is appreciated, it fills its purpose. So,
I guess so.
Happy ending.
Truly the St. Patrick's Day Irish luck for that guy.
This could be a Netflix comedy that I just pitched. Also,
could you imagine, like, the fucking dare, like, you're just walking with your friends. Hey, bro, go bash your head through that glass as a fucking drunken dare. And then he says, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. All right, well, Rudy, is it time for the resolution?
I think it is, good sir.
All right, so there have been various theories, such as mafia involvement, IRA involvement, that it was an inside job from guards, etc., but nothing was ever proven. And despite an extensive investigation, the heist was never solved and nobody has been arrested in conjunction with it.
Wow.
And the museum to this day still offers a $10 million reward for tips towards the paintings. But
oh, I mean, I assume private collections is where the paintings reside.
Probably. I mean, that's how you sell it. If you steal massively popular paintings or massively valuable famous paintings, you probably just sell
but
it
I
to some.
But I feel like with like... those personal collections, like, I mean, obviously, super rich folk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like, how do you... I guess people are not that... They're not that suave in paintings. But, like, wouldn't some at some point notice that this painting hanging in somebody's living room, like, you know, from the upper circles, like a stolen painting?
I mean, probably. But it just depends who you sell it to, right? It could definitely also be just some, like... If you sell it on the black market, it can also just be in a different country. For example, where they just don't give a fuck whether it's been stolen or not. And so there's nobody to report on it, like, from that angle either.
True.
I don't really know how that goes, you know. I'm not an art thief. I certainly wasn't in Boston in the 90s making massive dough. That was not me. No, sir.
Could not have been me. I look behind Henry and there's a painting canvas peeking out behind the cupboard.
I have like the entire Night Watch on my wall. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. I hope you had fun. If you want to contact us for any reason, just send us a message at thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com.
And otherwise... address in Australia, which I plugged in last time.
What?
There was an episode where I was supposed to plug in Australia address we had.
That was your episode, right?
Yes.
Okay, did you do it?
Yes. We have an address in Australia, so people go and look for us.
Alright, lovely.
It's somewhere, if I remember correctly, somewhere in the middle of an outback.
Yeah.
Australian desert, go find us.
Just give it to the, like, croc
I'm
in the area.
Trying to pitch for season 2, Henry. People... We'll get lost. We have content.
So true.
Looking for Vagabond Dilemma HQ season 2 title.
Otherwise, you can find Rudy on Instagram if he wants to plug that. No.
Yeah, I'm
all right,
right now, actually.
Want to plug that. He really doesn't want to plug that right
no,
now.
No, I so. Really want to plug that. I am looking at my Instagram from our Australian HQ in the middle of an outback. You can find me by my GPS location turned on via looking up 000RUDYS000 on Instagram. So that's 3 zeros, root is 3 zeros. Come and get me.
Okay. Yeah, that was it. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Don't steal.